Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There was a 17-year-old in Florida who was planning to bomb his high school, kill two of the principals, and he had a hit list, a plot to kill 32 people in total. And thankfully, thanks to the Lord and to the police in Tampa, he has been arrested. Police confiscated fuel, shrapnel, other bomb-making materials from his home. This is, of course, very good that he has been caught, because these kinds of, well, threats become reality so very often in the world we live in today. And this is more than a threat now, when he's attempting to implement his plan, which he had created his own manifesto with a minute-by-minute written-up plan of how to kill all these people. Police also found a marijuana-growing operation at his home. So glad that he's been arrested. Now, one of the longtime friends of Bob Enyart Live is also a programmer, and something interesting has happened. There is an application that you could download on a lot of platforms, and it's called the Touch Bible. And the Touch Bible has been really popular. It has well over 500,000 downloads. One of the reasons that we're so very thankful about the Touch Bible is because it has chapter one of the plot included in it. There's two versions. There's the free version and the paid version with a few extra features. Chapter one of the plot is available in both versions. And if people enjoy it, if they read it, and the plot is my life's work, an overview of the whole Bible, and chapter one pretty much sets up what the book attempts to accomplish. If people enjoy it, then they just click and they could download the whole plot or get a hard copy, a bound version from us. So it's really a thrill that we have had a relationship with the author of this application. Now, his name is Patrick Franklin. And Patrick Franklin, he's not the author of the Bible, but he's the author of this app, the Touch Bible, which enables people to download the whole Bible onto their little handheld device. So what I'd like to do now, is Patrick available? Patrick is in Tennessee. So if we have him, what an honor to have Patrick on. Patrick, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob, for having me on the show.
Well, it's great. Hey, Patrick, and if you could speak as loud as you can during our interview, I really want the audience to hear your story, because it turns out that there's a major ministry who is, well, basically threatening to sue you over the Touch Bible. So before we mention the ministry, can you tell us what led you to develop this? And also, well, where you were when you developed it, because that's an interesting part of the story.
Okay, well, to start at the beginning, in 2006, I was actually diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. It's called scleroderma. Hmm. And there's no cure. My doctors told me that I was looking at possibly 3 to 5 years to live.
Oh, my.
And I was 25 when that happened. And up to that point in my life, you know, I've always thought about doing something important, you know, something for God. I had, you know, I guess, wasted my life away not doing it. And so when I got that news, it was go time. I needed to do something right away.
And by the way, Patrick, it's so neat to hear you and think in those terms, because a lot of people, if they find out that they only have a few years left to live, especially if they're young, their first tendency might be to be mad at God, which is never right, never justified. The Bible never says it's okay to be mad at God, quite the opposite. But then also, they might think about themselves and what they can do for themselves, and you thought about what you can do for the Lord and what you could do for others who don't know the Lord. So, wow, that's really neat. And one of the many reasons it's an honor to count you among my friends. So, Patrick, you got this idea. You wanted to do something.
Right. Thank you for saying that, by the way, Bob. That really means a lot coming from you.
Well, you're very welcome. And you and I have spent a lot of time together, including working on some pro-life websites, including some overnighters that we've pulled, you know, in different states, but working via Skype or conference calls. And so we've gotten to know each other real well.
Yeah, and that's been great, too. I really love doing those projects with you.
Thanks. Me, too.
Well, at that point, there wasn't much that the doctors were telling me. Everything was experimental at best. And I ended up finding my way into a study. And the study had the potential of curing scleroderma. It's, you know, it's an experimental thing. So that was the hope.
It's an autoimmune disease, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Basically, what happens when you have scleroderma, in most cases, you just have hard skin. I had a very aggressive form of the disease, so it was also affecting my organs, my lungs and my kidneys. So basically, my hands, I think they were the hardest hit. I was lucky to be able to type at all, really. Mm. Some people lost the ability to even write. Mm. But I wasn't that bad. As an autoimmune disease, the study basically uses a chemotherapy. Chemotherapy has the effect of lowering your immune system. And, you know, when you have cancer, that's not really desired. But when you have an autoimmune disease, well, maybe it's a good thing, you know. Mm. So they let me in the study. For the next year, I would be getting a dose of chemo every month. And right at that time is when I started working on a website called ChristianRevolution.net.
Mm-hmm.
And that website had a lot. It was a lot of things, really. I was trying to put everything I could in it as fast as I could. And one of the things I wanted to include was a Bible study. So I started making a Bible that would work alongside the study section. You know, there's a lot of Bible sites out there, but I didn't want people to leave my site to read Scripture. So I wanted it to be in-house, and they could just click on it and read the verse or the chapter or the book, whatever, and then, you know, that would be it. My first month of chemo, I was working on that. I had it finished by my next dose of chemo, and so what started out as a touch Bible, a lot of it was coded, actually, in a hospital bed while I was receiving chemotherapy.
Wow.
And didn't really turn into touch Bible until the iPhone came out. Mm. I had a friend who had an iPhone. At the time, I couldn't afford one. They were so expensive when they first came out. But she had one, and out of curiosity, I went to my Christian site and went to the study section and opened the Bible in it. And the way it looked was just so neat, and it inspired me. I was like, you know, maybe I could get more traffic to my Christian Revolution site by getting some traffic from the iPhone users. Mm-hmm. And I thought the best way to do that was with this Bible because of how it looked. And when I went to other Bible sites for the iPhone, they just were so hard to use. And I thought, the way this looks, even though it wasn't meant to work on the iPhone, mm-hmm. is way better than that. That's when I began working on Touch Bible.
And so your Bible application would be a downloadable app. And, of course, we'll get to, in a few minutes, we'll get to how this has ended up involving you in threats from lawyers from a major Christian ministry. So far, you are trying to bring the Bible to more people with a downloadable app now.
That's right. The first version of Touch Bible actually wasn't downloadable. At the time, you couldn't download something to the iPhone. But I made a way to utilize the email program, and it would actually email you a full version of the Bible.
Wow.
And I called that Touch Bible Go, because if you lost your cell phone signal, at the very least, you could have your emails. They were downloaded.
Right.
And you could go to the email that had the Bible in it and open it. And once the iPhone matured a little bit more, they started to allow developers to release applications on it. And at that point, I thought, you know, that was the end of the story. I wasn't a programmer. I could make websites, but, you know, that was a giant leap to actually being a full-fledged developer. But, you know, I thought, you know, I'm just going to keep going on and keep doing this. So I learned to program as fast as I could. I released the first version of Touch Bible at the end of 2008. And since then, it's gone on to have around 700,000 downloads.
Oh, my. 700,000 downloads of the Touch Bible. Could you explain the difference quickly between the free version and the paid version?
Yeah, the free version, I've had a lot more downloads of the free version. It's a full-featured Bible. It's not a demo Bible or anything. It has the same principle as the first app. The whole Bible is downloaded to the phone, and you don't need the internet at all to access the Bible. It has a few study features to it, but the paid version ramps up the study features. You get over 60,000 study notes. You get a concordance with several different lexicons integrated into it. Mm-hmm. You can view two translations on the screen at the same time.
Well, that's just great. In case people are interested, what does the premium version cost?
It's $4.99.
Yep. And Patrick, am I right? I seem to recall that the plot has been a part of the Touch Bible from the very beginning.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Wow. And what an honor, too. You're in Tennessee. We're here in Denver, Colorado. And you have supported this ministry in so many ways and using your programming skills, which I think I could let the audience know a secret. You are the software engineer who developed the exceptions calculator, exceptionscalculator.com, which is relied upon by Pro-Life Profiles and other websites and ministries. You developed that. It's rather sophisticated. It works beautifully. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. That was so much fun to do.
And if I recall, didn't you make a video from our interview with Dr. Walt Brown?
Yes, you are correct about that, too.
That's right. We haven't talked about that in years. But yes. Also, thank you for doing that. So let's come up now. So it's the Touch Bible, and you named it that because of the iPod Touch?
Right.
All right. So everything sounds fine and wonderful. Now, Patrick, how in the world do you get yourself in a situation where a major ministry wants to sue you? What's going on?
Well, should we tell which ministry is out to get me?
Well, I think so.
It's going to be surprising to a lot of people. If you're familiar with Charles Stanley, you'll recognize the InTouch Ministries.
Yeah. And it's a ministry that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and that we're very thankful for.
Right. I've been blessed by them myself, and it's bittersweet. You know, I hate that they're the ones doing this, but at the same time, you never know what could come out of it. So, and plus, I think they've done plenty of good in spite of what they're doing to me right now, but just wanted to throw that out there that I'm not really angry at them. I would much rather just go down peacefully. And
well, from talking to you for some hours about this and reading some of the briefs and all, I'd say, from my impression, you're not angry, but you're bewildered about why they would do this, and especially to a Christian. And so they're claiming that your Touch Bible, the name of this application, Touch Bible, is infringing on Charles Stanley's ministry, InTouch Ministries. That's simply not the way trademark law, patent law and trademark law, I'm familiar with both of these. Obviously, we have many materials in the public square. And, Patrick, years ago, I used to copy edit books for publishers, including major publishers like Simon & Schuster. And I copy edited two books, one on patent law and one on trademark law. And I'm not an expert, but there's no way that Charles Stanley could claim ownership to the word touch for the Touch Bible.
That's right. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to twist things in such a way that would make it seem that Touch Bible is too close to their name. They're using a few different tactics to do that, but all of which at face value don't really work, namely because the names are just so different. In Touch Ministries, Touch Bible.
Yeah. In fact, in your research, and you have an attorney who has very graciously come forward and he's representing you pro bono, which I don't know why we have to talk Latin when we talk about legal things, but he's doing this for free, which shows also the strength of your case and how unreasonable this is, because he's giving of his time to represent you. And so in the research done, they even attempted to stop a communications company that's called InTouch Communications from using that name. And that's very unreasonable because, well, in trademark law, if a communication company is, they keep people in touch, and you have a ministry called InTouch, there's no way you could stop a communication company from saying that they keep people in touch. It just doesn't work that way.
Right. They try to organize marks, trademarks, by categories. You know, if you have a restaurant compared to a hardware store and they both have the same name, nobody's really going to confuse the two because they're two different kinds of businesses.
Yeah, so you have a downloadable app and Charles Stanley is a human being. So people are probably not going to confuse those two and his huge ministry and your app. But also when you trademark things, if you're selling hammers, you can't get a trademark for the word hammer because it's too descriptive. If something is descriptive of what it actually is, you can't trademark it. It's like trademarking car or airplane. You just can't do it. That's why drug companies make up names all the times, like Pastor Rixafrance and Simbitson, because then they could get a trademark on it because they just made it up out of thin air. But when the iPod Touch came out and this idea that we're going to take touchscreen technology and bring it to a whole new marketplace and everybody's going to be doing swiping and touch screening and that's the new technology, well, Charles Stanley can't stop Touch iPod from having an iPod Touch and Touch applications.
Right. And that's exactly what Touch Bible was named after. It's specifically a Bible for touchscreen devices. It's the iPhone, the iPad, the iPod Touch, the Android phones that have touchscreens. All of these can use Touch Bible. And the name fits perfectly with what that is.
Right, sure. So where does it stand now, Patrick? You were first contacted how from InTouch Ministries?
They sent me a letter through the mail. It was in January this year. And it was just a two-pager with a bunch of attachments. They were asking me just to cease and desist. They talked about Charles Stanley to some extent, so I would recognize who they were. And at that point, I sent that letter to a lawyer friend that I had. The funny thing about the letter is that they wanted me to contact them by a certain day. And the letter itself had no address, no email address, no phone number, only a return address on the envelope.
Just their main P.O. box?
Yeah, that's all it was. Hmm. And that's really no way to allow me to reach out to them. The lawyer actually had to search for them and figure out who they were before we could come to some kind of communication. Mm. Right.
So that initial letter, and where has it gone to now?
They have begun to interfere with the trademark process. Last year, I initiated the process to trademark Tush Bible with the government, so it will be an official registered trademark, recognized nationally. I had already had some run-ins with a domain company trying to take the name from me, so at that point, I began to, you know, take it more seriously. It's like, well, I need to protect this name because my name's tied to it. It's not, this is a business, it's just me, you know, so anybody who has any issues with it would have to come after me, and that can be dangerous for my family, you know. We would have to sell our house or something if it got too bad. I wanted to protect the name, and I started the process last year in October, and I think that's how they came to find me, because I started that process. They had started their own process of registering InTouch Ministries as a mobile software, software in general.
Right.
And, pardon me, and in the process, the trademark office has denied their trademark.
You mean the USPTO, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office? They denied InTouch Ministries, a special trademark for computers, software with the word InTouch?
Exactly. And there's somebody who, I think it was back in the 80s, who used that name for software, and it was too close. Mm. So the trademark office, from what I understand, has informed them that they have to come to some kind of agreement with that entity before they could proceed farther with InTouch in the software class as a trademark. I think when they were looking into that, that's how they found me. And so they began the process to oppose the trademark.
So, Patrick, you have an attorney. You guys are, it seems like you're confident that everything will go well and the Tush Bible will continue to be popular. What do you expect over the rest of this year? Are people continuing to download the Tush Bible?
Yes, downloads are very strong. Typically, depending on the category that you look in, if you go to iTunes, on most days, especially Sundays, you'll find me within the top 200 lists for that category.
Wow.
So it depends. It has several versions of Tush Bible, so one will rise while the other one will fall, and you know, it's just back and forth. So I think it's pretty recognizable with people who've done their share of downloading.
So you think it's going to continue? What I'm wondering is, do you think you'll hit 1 million downloads? Because that's a special milestone.
Right, I think so. Especially with your help right now, who knows how many people will hear this and will try it out.
Well, that would be just great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, and I'll be glad to share with you the numbers that come from that.
Well, that is exciting. And Patrick, what an honor it's been when you called back a few years ago and asked if you could include chapter one of the plot in the Tush Bible. I was so honored and so thrilled, and it's just a neat opportunity, another way to spread the word to a lot of people.
You know, earlier in the conversation, you made the comment about how most people might be bitter towards God when something like this would happen, a disease. The reason I had a different mindset than I think a lot of people would have is because of the things that you teach. And honestly, you know, Bob Hill.
Bob Hill, my mentor here in Denver, Colorado, who's now retired.
He's the one who got me into open theism. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with that, you know, it's hard to be mad at God.
Yeah, you realize that God is not micromanaging and gradually killing you or your daughter, or your grandchild.
Right. I didn't have to face down God and beg him for an answer as to why this would happen to me.
Right, exactly.
He didn't make it happen. I was like, let's live with it. Let's make the most out of it.
Well, praise God for that and for the growing number of Christians who believe that God is free and eternally creative, and he will be creating eternally. So the future cannot be settled. It has to be open because God has new thoughts and new creative ideas, and he will forever. Patrick, we're out of time. Your website is ChristianRevolution.net. Do I have that right?
That's right, and you can go to TouchBible.com.
TouchBible.com. May God bless you. Keep me informed, Patrick.
Will do, Bob. Thank you.
I appreciate him, and the banquet's coming up. Get ready.